in Christ Jesus our crucified but risen and ascended Savior, dear friends, we know that the scriptures do not specialize in narrating athletic events, but this certainly is just incidentally one of the strangest foot races recorded anywhere in literature. Two disciples on that Easter morning, hearing that the tomb was open, that the body of Jesus was gone, racing to the tomb, and the most perplexing thing is they weren't really sure what was motivating them to hurry as they did. But the example that they leave us Latter-day Christians, that we also, not only in this Easter season, but throughout our life and in all our tasks, ought to be always hastening to the empty tomb of our Savior, is very validly given here. Imagine Peter and John hearing this strange report after all their fears and total abject disappointment that the one to whom they had looked as their Lord and Master lay dead. Now, after all that shameful experience on Golgotha, now there was no more hope. Now there was no more life. What was there to the future? And then came Mary Magdalene and said, "The tomb is empty. They must have taken him away." Peter and John must have been agonizing even as they ran. It must have been quite a sight in the dark or very early dawning of that day. Peter, probably a little older, according to legend at least, usually he's pictured as well advanced in years already by this time. John, younger, more nimble, faster in his feet, he outraced Peter, even though John himself didn't know just what to expect. And we can only imagine, we can only surmise the fear and the trepidation, the uncertainty that must have been in their hearts. So much that John didn't even dare enter the tomb when he stooped down, though, to look into this excavation in the rock. He could see that the body of Jesus was no longer there, and still it took the more daring Peter, who finally caught up and went into the tomb immediately and saw that it was really empty, that John also went in and partook of this proof that Jesus had held out to them to see plainly and openly and repeatedly that he must rise again by the power of God the Father. Now, we do not have the privilege of repeating that experience on that first Easter morning, also physically and personally, to observe actually that empty tomb. But we know it from utmost reliable testimony of these disciples and hundreds of other believers who have seen the living, the risen Savior. Yes, we have not experienced it ourselves, but we know that tomb over there near Jerusalem was empty on Easter morning. And in our own lives, and in our own work, and in our own labors and afflictions and tribulations and temptations, we want to follow the example of these two disciples and be always hastening to the empty tomb so that there we may come to understand the scriptures and that we will know for our own selves that Jesus had to rise because God the Father had committed himself and all his plan of salvation for sinful men to this culminating event in all of salvation history. So we have just the same dimension of certainty in the risen Savior that these first disciples had. We also, when we face the tribulations of life, in our thoughts, in our devotions, in our prayers, in our scripture readings, hasten to the empty tomb and see there the certainty that he was crucified because of our transgressions, but he was raised for our justification. Here we see the glorious promises of God the Father fulfilled. Here we see comfort for our souls in our lives. It is the risen Christ we believe in, and we reject these speculations that one finds today even among Lutheran theologians who speculate that you can have this theory or he can have that theory about why this experience of these disciples is recorded this way, but we don't really know what the real facts were. No, we know what the facts are. The resurrection of Christ, the empty tomb, is as well attested as any fact in history. We know it is the living Savior we serve. We know it is the glorified Jesus we will see again when he will come in his power and his glory. Also to let us experience that resurrection from death back to life. This certainty that we can attain when we follow these disciples and hasten often to the empty tomb in our devotions, in our Bible study, in our prayers, this is the certainty that really puts it all together for us. This is the very nub of all of God's plan of salvation. This is the kingpin that keeps the train of events tied together in meaningful coordination. As we now walk sometimes a very painful path in this life, and certainly always an arduous path that we will tread for the Lord in service in his kingdom, this certainty that we attain at the empty tomb of the certainty of the resurrection of Christ is what gives meaning to past events, specifically the coming of Christ in the flesh, the season of Christmas with all its joys, but the anguish of Holy Week and the crucifixion, and our own cross-bearing for Christ in service in his kingdom, and our yearning for the final redemption which he has promised us. I say this resurrection of Christ is the kingpin that puts together in meaningful sequence this series of events. This resolves all doubts. This removes all fears. This will wipe away all tears. Now we can rejoice, as the holy writer did in the letter to the Hebrews, seeing then that we have a great high priest, Jesus, the Son of God, who has passed into the heavens. Let us hold fast to our confession, because we have not a high priest who is unable to be touched by the feeling of our own infirmities, but rather one who was in every way tempted like as we are, but without sinning. Let us therefore come boldly before the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and grace to help in time of need. God grant this through Jesus' sake. Amen.